And welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Today, we are going to talk about Holiday Rush Special Early Edition. It was supposed to be Christmas Eve, but instead they hit us up on Christmas Eve, a big two-hour event from out of nowhere, if you will. But first, let's talk about the news. Our first thing that's popping up is we got some news coming out of Kings of Coliseum. For those of you who have forgotten, that is going to be Saturday, January 6th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 2300 Arena. Two new matches announced this week, the first of which is Wasted Youth and Alec Price, the hot young tag team in MLW, who are only participating in like triple threats and now six-man tag teams. And IWTV champion Alec Price look to take on the goon squad of Tony Deppen, TJ Crawford, and Griffin McCoy. As I said, Wasted Youth has kind of made a splash in MLW, going 2-0 in triple threat tag team action. With them is IWTV champion Alec Price. On the flip side of that coin, though, again, is the relatively new pairing of McCoy, Crawford, and Deffin. And so we're curious to see how this match will turn out, because both teams have a batch of momentum on their side in the six-man tag. In addition to this, it's also been announced that we will have a World Tag Team Championship match, as the Second Gear crew, allegedly going to be represented by the one called Manders and Matthew Justice, will take on the World Titan Federation superstars of Filthy Tom Lawler and Josh Bishop. The Titans and the Second Gear crew have been fighting for quite a bit, you know, the last few months or so. And I'm curious to see how the tandem of Filthy Tom and Josh Bishop will work together. Obviously, Lawler's has experience with stables, but he's primarily a singles guy. However, Bishop does have some tag team experience, most notably with the Rip City Shooters. Oh, I have to slap the on that one, aren't we? But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Of course, Mr. Saint Laurent is looking to obtain some championship gold his way for the Titans as well. Of course, this card is going to be rounded out by the Love is Blindfold match, with Love Dove looking for revenge against Brett Ryan Gosling, Notorious BRG. Featherweight Championship is up for grabs as Jannai Kai, represented by Selena De La Renta, takes on Hyper Misao of Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. We have a Taipei death match for the MLW National Openweight Championship as The Calling continues its implosion as Ricochet Page defends against Akira. Jacob Fatu is going to be in action. And of course, in our main event, the World Heavyweight Championship is up for grabs as Alex Kane looks to defend against the WTF latest recruit, the returning Richard Holiday. So that should be a fun card. Again, that's Saturday, January 6th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Also, February 29th is going to be Intimidation Games in the Melrose Ballroom, New York City. We don't have official matches listed yet for this here event. And actually, it's really so fresh on the presses at this point. We don't even have a list of competitors that are going to compete on that. So we'll hold our breath. We will get, you know, new notifications here shortly. But let's get through Kings of Coliseum first. We got, you know, 2 months before the Kings of Coliseum or the Intimidation Games event, so we got plenty of time on that front. So, all right, there was no Fusion this week, so things are kind of jumbled up in terms of my release schedule, or at least recording, etc., because I try to do things while they're fresh in the brain box, because I'm not as young as I used to be, and, well, despite not being a professional wrestler myself, I've had way too many shots to the head doing other things. So I'm going to go ahead, and we're going to jump to our energy drink break, like, right now, and when we come back, we'll talk about Holiday Rush, so stay tuned, we'll be right back. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, Christmas came early. Holiday rush, 24 hours early. Santa decided we were all good boys and girls. MLW announced like 1 hour prior to showtime that we were getting the holiday rush early. And so yeah, that was a thing. So let's just jump in. It was early. I'm now early. Let's has fight. We get a hype video minus a Matt Cardona for WTF, noting their signings of Tom Lawler and Josh Bishop. Joe and Matt welcome us to the show. We run down the card tonight. It's a pretty packed show that we are condensing it down for, like, it's like an hour or like slightly less than 2 hours. So we're really, really cramming stuff in for the amount of time we have for matches. We're going to start things off with the scramble match. It is Akira versus Love Dog versus Alec Price versus Jay Bougie versus Nolo Catano versus the notorious Brett Ryan Goslin. And before things could even, like, properly get started, we get a bell or anything, things break down between Doug and BRG. Everyone's now just getting their stuff in and going after each other, like, one-on-one in the ring. So one person would come in, get a little bit of offense in, send their opponent out. Somebody would come in, replace that guy, you know, just one at a time. However, Kira starts, you know, taking control of the entire situation. He slams Bougie on Catano in the corner. It was like almost a power slam, but it had been like a little too dangerous, I assume. So Catano was laying in the corner, like on the bottom turnbuckle, and Akira just running body slam Bougie on him, and that was kind of neat. BRG locks in a sleeper hold on Doug. Everyone joins in. Doug slips out, crawls through everybody's legs, and possibly goes for like a bear hug. Kira is kind of concerned about that. Before any other shenanigans occur, Catano dives off the top rope, hits a missile dropkick, screwing that over. I was personally excited to see where that was going to go, but yeah, that's just me. Whatever, man. We got a fight on the top turnbuckle for the right to hit a Tower of Doom, because it wouldn't be a multi-man match without a Tower of Doom spot now, would it? At least it wasn't a battle royal, so props for that. However, BRG gets stuffed in a sack, and Akira and Love Doug team up for a bit, hit him with super kicks. Akira kisses Doug, who's really surprised, before helping Doug hit a Shiranui on BRG. Doug with a big rebound lariat. Think like a combination of like Kofi Kingston's like rope bounce, Kofi Kingston slash Matt Cross rope bounce, except he bounces off the rope into a big lariat a la Nigel McGuinness or John Moxley. So that was crazy go nuts. However, Bougie comes in with a springboard cutter. Everyone's just getting their stuff in now before Alec Price dives on a crowd of folks outside the ring. However, because now everybody's dead except for Akira, who kind of started the party, he hits the death penalty to get the win. So yeah, that match was nothing but chaos. I apologize for, you know, maybe how brief it is or any major details I happen to leave out. I tried to catch all the major details anyway. But, you know, just nothing but chaos here, which was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. But yeah, and they give Akira the win, who arguably is the most over person in this here match anyway. He gets the microphone, tells a story about a storm called The Calling, and once the head of the storm just disappeared, a leech took over. And notes that, you know, storms don't last forever, and Akira will be the one who will blow this storm away. When the calling come out, Ricochet and Page sicks the calling on Akira, and they just, the numbers games were too much, but Ricochet and Page's ego gets the better of him. He kind of like comes in to finish things off, and Akira takes him to Dick Kick City before security conveniently decide to intervene at this here moment. So yeah, this is great, guys. Never mind the 5-on-1 beatdown. It's when the one guy fires back, that's when we have to protect people. It's like kind of like how security, like Yeah, I was going to call it Social Security. The Secret Service. It's like the Secret Service was invented to protect us from Andrew Jackson. That's what it kind of was. So, yeah, that's the thing. And we're getting hyped up for the Taipei Deathmatch for the National Openweight Championship with Akira challenging Ricochet Page at the Kings of Coliseum. Backstage, we get a small celebration with Promocionist Dorada. Selena comes in showing off her look for her match tonight. And then she sees a burlap sack in the on her chair and just freaks the F out over it. Wants to know who left it. Like, nobody knows what's going on. It's just a sack, baby. Not my bag. And just kind of like freaks out. So, more foreshadowing to go along with the announcement of Azteca Lucha's return. Ha! Where are we going on this? We also get a hype video announcing the return of Sami Callihan. He will be returning at Kings of Coliseum. We'll be taking on the leader of the Bret Club, Satoshi Kojima. Our match after this is a triple threat match as Tiara James battles the Notorious Mimi and Zeta Steel. Before we get to the match, we get some footage from earlier in the day where Zeta, you know, notes that she was not really nice for Christmas, and MSL notes naughty and nice, so she gets the best of both worlds, both lists. And tells her pretty much anything she wants, and like he lists off like Taylor Swift tickets, etc. And what she really wants is a title shot, and MSL's just kind of like waffling at it, like, yeah, he doesn't want to deal with Selena. And Zeta's just finally like, well, you're a promoter, like, promote me. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. You know, I'm just going to throw it out there before we get to the match. Like, already Zeta's learning. MSL, not the man to be. Like, I tried to sign her away from MSL. Saw her at Uprising from Dreamwave and tried to sign her away, get her out of her WTF contract. But she wanted my hot tub full of the pizza rolls, and I may do anything for love, but I won't do that. So now she's stuck with MSL. I try, baby. Like, just tried to get her out of it, and now she's going to bear the fruit of not going with the crazy guy that lives in his mother's basement. But yeah, whatever. At least she's getting a featured matchup here, or at least one third of a featured match anyway. Match starts. We do have match, so we should probably talk about that, right? So match starts. James kind of tries to clear the ring early, but the Rudos take her down before arguing with each other who's going to get the pinfall. They do kind of, well, they break down, toss each other around, and then just take turns beating on Tiara while the other one's outside of the ring. Once again, they can't work together, and Tiara comes back with a big double dropkick off the ropes. Get a double slam, or at least one slam after another, followed by a double pin by James. Only gets two, because it's really hard to pin two people, especially when they're not stacked on top of each other. MSL saves Zeta from attack and distracts James, and this allows Zeta to hit her version of the Tomokaze called the I'm Prettier for the three count. And so it was a fun little match. James got her spots in, kind of like overcame the odds for a while, basically, until MSL had to get involved. I will make note that like commentary was really putting over like what a, you know, big blue chip prospect, and how Tiara James, you know, is leading the women's division, and like they were laying it on thick. And you know, for the most part, I don't care that much, but like I went and checked the record book, and especially after this match, James does not have a 500 record. Like, she's not leading the division. She's not deserving of a title shot if she can't make it to 500. And yes, she was at 500 before this match, and one of her losses, well, two of her now three losses involved multi-man matches. But you know, are you really leading a division if you can't win? Even if like there's a bunch of stuff going on around you, you're not overcoming the odds if you're not overcoming anything really. But just throwing it out there, you know. And I'm not doing this to disparage James necessarily herself, because obviously this is like her second year in professional wrestling, so like she's got a huge upside. It's just, yeah, commentary is just laying it on thick, and I was annoyed. So raging at angels again, that's what I do. But speaking of, well, it's not quite angels, but superheroes. We got a hype video for the debut of Hyper Masao. When she debuts at Kings of Colosseum, she'll be battling for the MLW Featherweight Championship held by Jeannie Kai. We also get a video for the return of Azteca Lucha. That is May 5th. May 5th? I didn't write the date down. It's in my calendar because it's in Cicero, Illinois. That is a handful of hours away from me. So MLW Confusion representing at Azteca Lucha. Front row, baby. I don't know where the camera's going to be out of that, but if you see some guy with a neck beard, it's probably me in the front row. I know there's going to be like 18 others, but I might have the most teeth there. That's what I got going for me. Probably have the most teeth of them. And I just tossed my notebook away for no good reason. Bear with me. We're not editing. We're live. We'll fix it in editing. There's no editing. We're not fixing this at all. Luckily, I can just lean over real quick and just keep talking for no apparent reason. Oh, look, there's another match. I've talked long enough that we're at our next match. Matthew Justice, Josh Bishop, quasi-grudge match. This is a big boy battle, ladies and gentlemen. Two hosses going at it. Justice takes control with a Big E spear to the outside. Did it infinitely safer than Big E ever did, though. We're brawling around the ring. Bishop hits a back suplex on the ring apron, and if you haven't heard that already, that is the hardest part of the ring, ladies and gentlemen. Justice hits a baseball slide. He goes to jump off the ring apron, but Bishop catches him and just kind of chucks him into the guardrail. We have chairs involved, and because this is MLW, we're not going to, you know, just enforce rules, I guess, when it comes to weaponry and whatnot. So, chairs are legal. However, that doesn't do him much good as he gets clotheslined through a chair. Bischoff tosses chairs and a table into the ring before going inside. Lost my train of thought as Matthew Justice climbs to the top rope, because no good comes from that. Bishop, though, is there to cut him off, and just, like, picks up the table and hits him with it. Like, not quite swings like a baseball bat, but, like, comes and donks him in the head, and commentary rightfully puts over, like, how many times do you see someone just hit somebody with a table? And the answer is, like, not terribly often, because, one, those tables are flimsy, and two, like, they're big, unwieldy things. Like, even when they're not heavy, like, yeah, it's kind of, like, difficult, like, keeping them under control with gravity and whatnot, but, yeah, so Bishop just dinked Justice on the top rope with a table. However, Justice does overcome the power odds, fights back, goes for what looks to be like a DVD through the table, but MSL interferes, grabs his ankle, and Matt Stryker, like, puts over, like, MSL's, like, oh, checking to see if those shoes are Prada. Like, that's crazy go nuts, man. I love it. But that interference costs Justice his attention, and Bishop power bombs Justice through the table to get the victory. Yeah, like a quick, solid, big boy fight. You know, I'm not gonna say I didn't have high expectations for it, but like, but you go to this match, you kind of know what you're going to get, and they delivered exactly that. It was just some big boy mayhem, and it was a lot of fun, and I was okay with it. But we're not done yet. Bishop is celebrating on the Clash ramp, and Justice attacks him, so we are not done with the attack. Cameras are not going to follow them for this time, though. Backstage in a secondary office, Lena De La Renta, it talks to the cameraman. You know, he's supposed to be checking out her new wrestling attire, and gets mad at him because he implied that she called him in there. So she starts slapping him around and puts over the fact that that's what she's going to do to Ichiban. And speaking of slapping, our next match is a grudge match, as Kevin Blackwood looks to slap the taste out of Tony Deppen's mouth. This one goes way back, as our number one draft pick, Kevin Blackwood, got Pillmanized, like, in his first MLW match. Has been on the shelf mostly since. He's just recently come back. Tony Deppen was revealed to be the one responsible for it. He was the mysterious hooded figure that was helping out TJ Crawford. So, Blackwood. Blackwood gets finally gets the opportunity to get some measure of revenge. And before the bell even rings, Blackwood is attacking just a ball of fire. And in the process of self-defense, Tony Deppen pulls off the ring pad off the top turnbuckle. So a bit of foreshadowing on that one. Blackwood locks in an ankle lock. Deppen's associates, Griffin McCoy and TJ Crawford, distract him. Blackwood eventually locks in the ankle lock again and gets thrown into the top turnbuckle, the one that was missing its pad, by the way, and gets rolled up for the victory for Tony Deppen. Grudge match, it wasn't terribly long and wasn't terribly grudgy. I mean, yeah, Blackwood was in control almost the entire time. But yeah, this match was like the shortest match of the night. I assume we're going to get more out of it here in the future, but just like, huh, well, that was fast. Didn't expect it to not last that long, especially for a grudge match. Anywho, we go to the special WTF set where Zeta Steel interviews Richard Holiday. He talks about WTF bringing in the dinero. Like, while he was gone during free agency, he's had offers from all around the world, you know, and he's going to go sign with the person who promises him the most money for marketing. And that happened to be, well, MSL and WTF. So yeah, like that, like his sole reasoning for joining WTF is the cash money. He really kind of like puts over Alex Kane. And by puts over, I mean, like, trashes his social media use. Zeta asks him if he's going to stay for the tag team match tonight. And Holiday's kind of like, I don't have to answer all your questions, even if we are BFFs. So he's not going to answer that there question. But speaking of tag team matches, we have another one coming up here. It is a triple threat match. The main event takes on TJ Crawford and Griffin McCoy in their tag debut. They have not teamed together yet. They've been associates, but never actually tagged, taking on the team of Wasted Youth. So we get the bell rings. Crawford and McCoy clear the ring, showing that they've got some chemistry despite never actually teaming each other. However, Midas Black ends up fighting both of them off. We get a roll through DDT, but the pin's broken up by Wasted Youth. Youth comes in and gets some tandem offense before Griffin and Crawford come in and take over the match. They look to have things won with a nifty little combo before Lion just cannonballs through the ropes, through the hoop of real fire, into basically everyone who's in the ring to break up that pinfall. That was a lot of fun. However, like, for all that happened, Wasted Youth continue to kind of like take over, get that variation of more bang for your buck. Wasted Youth are your winners. Number one contenders now for the tag team championship, by the way. They've kind of like glossed over that there fact. Another match that was relatively short, but not squashy short like the grudge match before. But like the other matches earlier that were multi-person, like, just a whole lot of stuff going on here, and it was kind of hard to keep track of everything. Plus you got all sorts of flippity to floppity and flyers going around, at least with the team of the main event and Wasted Youth. They really put over the fact that Wasted Youth is going to be kind of like the team of the future for MLW, at least for the time being. And once again, main event, you know, taking another loss, which makes me sad. But this is another match where I'm really not sure who should take the pinfall. I guess, like, you could argue the main event had the least to lose taking the pinfall here, because we also have the debuting tandem of McCoy and Crawford, who they seem to be working well with, as well as part of that Tony Deppen group. It just makes me sad because the main event are this well-oiled machine and appear to be over with the crowd, and we're just kind of like, meh. Like, we're just going to have them lose every match, or even if they're not pinned in these multi-man matches, they're still not going to win it. But, you know, That is what it is. I've beaten that horse to death, and it wasn't that funny to begin with, so I'm just going to leave that right there. However, speaking of things getting beaten into the ground, Matthew Justice and Josh Bishop are now fighting on the roof. Like, they're bouncing around near the railing. There's just a table just hanging out on the roof, too. There's nothing on it. It's just a breaking table. Of course, if there's a breaking table, it's got to be broken. Justice plops Bishop on it, climbs up a ladder to the tippy top roof. Well, he didn't climb to the tippy top roof, that's where the ladder was going. But he's like five rings from the tippy top and hits a diving splash on Bishop through the table. Ah, that was crazy go nuts, man. But leave it to Matthew Justice. He hadn't jumped from anything that high yet tonight, so you knew it was coming, just didn't know when. Jesus Rodriguez is out now. He is doing the ring announcing for the next match. It is going to be Selena De La Renta versus Itchy Bun. I see what you did there, Jesus. Our intergender match, Selena De La Renta versus Itchy Bun. I laughed, and I don't know if this was on purpose or if it was an actual miscommunication, but I thought it was very entertaining. But Rocky Romero is going for some shadow boxing in Selena's corner, because she came out with her entourage, of course. And like, so he had his hands up, and he's kind of like, shaking and wiggling, and Selena just kept trying to give him high fives, and I laughed. I laughed way too hard at that. Cause, and I, again, like, I don't know if that was just part of the bit they agreed to, or she just didn't catch it. But I loved it either way, so it worked out. Bell rings, like Selena's kind of like, jaw jacking whatever, and then she does a couple claps, and then Promociones Dorado attacks. Come in, and luckily Ichiban dispatches them pretty quickly before Selena's like, hey, let's talk this over. Actually, let's talk to my bottle of perfume, sprays him in the eyes, where he is then promptly gang beaten by Promociones Dorada. Security, not caring what's really happening, allow Ichiban's mask to be removed. The ultimate insult in Lucha Libre. Such an insult, though. Mascara Dorada is there, and he's having none of it. He charges the ring and runs off. Promociones Dorada. All right, new book for real this time. That feud is continuing, and just like FYI, for those of you who haven't heard yet, Rocky Romero lost the CMLL National Historic Welterweight Championship not terribly long ago to Mascara Dorada, so that feud is still going strong and looks to still be in the books for MLW, or at least still in the back burners, we'll say. We'll see if Dorada comes back again. But yeah, so there's still some bad blood going over there. All right, so we got our bathroom break match, because let's face it, we didn't think a whole lot that was going to come out of that. That was going to be a quick one, and it was. So we're moving on to our tag team championship match, as the Second Gear crew, represented by the one called Manders and Good Brother number three, number three, number three, defend against the Baume Fight Club, represented by your MLW World Heavyweight Champion Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas. It looks like number three and Kane are going to start. Kane out wrestles him to begin with, but number three wants to have a strike battle. So Kane's like, okay, let's have a strike battle, and has the taste promptly knocked out of his mouth. We get tags coming in for that. Manders and Thomas are in. They have a proper strike off, and they're just striking all over the place. Hamburger chests abound, most likely. And then, for no good reason, number three and Alex Kane are back in the ring, and they start fighting around the ring. However, once again, number three proves to be a superior brawler, comes in to help out. Mr. Thomas is double teamed on the top rope, and after a lot of fighting, we get a double super play off that top rope spot. Kane is tagged back in and cleans house. He gets a big splash on the ring apron on the one called Manders, but only gets a two count, despite the fact that the ring apron is the hardest part of the ring. MSL and Zeta Steel are out. MSL grabs Kane's ankle. It's also noted that Richard Holiday's out, and him and Alex Kane have words. Kane pushes Holiday, and Holiday splashes Kane in the face with, I assume it's champagne, but whatever Holiday was drinking goes right into Kane's face. Kate and Holiday start brawling, and then the rest of WTF come out to brawl and smash everyone. A little bit of the Beaumier come in. Matthew Justice is back out. He's beaten. He's eventually guillotined with some chairs. And the match is just thrown out. So kind of a quick, almost nothing match there. I did kind of figure nothing was going to come out of it, unfortunately, just because, like, I didn't see the SCG losing the titles yet, and I definitely didn't see Alex Kane losing a match. So obviously this one got thrown out because both those teams have had their issues with WTF. WTF got involved and got to stand tall in that their moment anyway. Anywho, so we go backstage after this here little thing. Delmi Exo confronts Jinai Kai, just like, all like, you think you're the, you know, head of the women's division now because you're the champ. They have a brief pull apart brawl until some Lucha Mascoons make their return. They hand Delmi an envelope. She looks at it and looks intrigued. So we're dropping some heavy hints there. I think El Jefe, it's looking more and more like El Jefe's coming back. And if it's not El Jefe, it's probably some part of the El Jefe family tree, because, you know, he's been killed and resurrected. His crazy father has taken over a wrestling promotion in the past, so who knows what's going to happen here. But some wheels are moving on that front, which, of course, you know, spoiler alert, Azteca Lucha is coming back, or at least an event labeled as Azteca Lucha is going to be back here in May. So that leads us to our main event, Jacob Fatu versus Alex Hammerstone. This is the third battle between these two behemoths, the veritable faces of MLW, both former world champions. They put over in this situation, though. Fatu is actually the underdog because he's on a bit of a losing streak and he's never beaten Hammer. He is 0-2 battling Alex Hammerstone, losing the world title to Hammer and eventually losing the rematch as well to Hammer. So we start off with some grabs. Hammer is working over the headlocks and stomps. Fatu turns it around for a bit. We get a tope suicida by Fatu and a swanton bomb inside the ring for two. Hammer, though, uses the ref shield, and the commentary is upset about that. Like, the old Hammer wouldn't do this, but now that he's with MSL, like, he's, you know, sold out everything that he used to believe in and whatever. Forgetting that, like, Hammer used to be kind of a dick. You know, he was with the Dynasty until Max left and Holiday turned on him. So, like, you know, he was always kind of edgy in there anyway. But off the ref shield, we get a almost like a claymore kick, but it is a pump kick. It starts as a pump, and then just Hammer, like, puts so much effort into it, he just flies through the air himself. And then we get a big kick while Fatu is draped over the ring apron. With that, Hammer starts showing up. He's doing some push-ups and starts working over the lower back of Fatu, hits a back suplex, gets a two count off that. However, Fatu comes back with a super kick, hip attack, and a Vader bomb, only gets two off that. However, Hammer gets his knees up on the handspring moonsault attempt to take back over, but they fight up on the top turnbuckle. Fatu just hits this great jumping super hurricanrana. Like, they're both standing on the top rope, and like Fatu like just jumps up off the top rope and hits the hurricanrana off the top. However, before like they could do much with it, Fatu goes up again and Hammer shoves the refs into the ropes, crotching Fatu. Top rope belly to belly suplex for that. We get a strike battle. We're trading offenses back and forth. Finally, Hammer, though, looks to take charge with a released German suplex and a big Liger bomb. Only gets two out of that. Follows it up with the Nightmare Pendulum. And probably the biggest shock of the night is Fatu kicked out of the Nightmare. For all, like, you know, as dominant as Hammer has been, the thing that's been super protected is the Nightmare Pendulum. And it's a big effing deal if someone kicks out of it. And Fatu just kicked out of it. We get an alley-oos because we're so shocked about this, there's, you know, nothing else can happen. We get the shock, alley, oos, double jump moonsault, but he takes too long to get the pin. Actually, he goes for a really lackadaisical pin because he's so injured, and Hammer rolls that pin at two into a pin of his own, but couldn't get it. However, Fatu is still with it enough to launch a Samoan spike into Hammer's throat with another double jump moonsault attempt. This one, 100% successful, gets the pinfall, and in your main event, your winner, finally exorcising the ghost of Alex Hammerstone, Jacob Fatu. And you know, this is a good solid match between the two of the faces of MLW. Yes, Hammer's had some issues the last handful of months, and it kind of is up until like the last 6 weeks has been kind of incognito. But like, you know, he was the guy for like the last 5 years or so. And obviously Fatu was up there with him with his work in Contra, etc. And the one thing I kind of appreciate for this match is, like, yes, this was the main event, like, this was going to be, like, the match of the night, but they didn't, like, it didn't turn into this weird epic battle. Like, that's, like, not that, I feel horrible saying that, because there's nothing inherently wrong with, like, the epic battle matches, but, like, this wasn't one of them. Like, this was just a straight up match to see who's the best. And they tried to outwork each other, working over body parts, you know, doing what they could within their playbooks to win, rather than relying on these epic, you know, I jumped off the top rope, we're going to have all these epic two counts, etc. Like, these were just two guys who could go going at it, and I kind of appreciated that, comparatively speaking. It was kind of a nice change of pace. But we're not done yet. We are not done yet. After the match, the two competitors embrace. MSL ditches Hammer, just flat out leaves in disgust. Hammer embraces Fatu. Fatu gets his metaphorical roses before Hammer gets the mic. And he really kind of like, he notes that, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going around, and a lot of it true, a lot of it not true, but he's had some issues with MLW lately, and it's been covered by the Dirt Sheets, it's been covered by us podcasters, you know, all that good stuff. You know, and he says, like, whether, you know, regardless, you know, this is about MLW tonight. And yeah, like, he really kind of, like, put over MLW and talked about how, like, in 2019, like, no one was going to commit to Hammer. He'd had tryouts with the WWE that ended up falling through. He allegedly tried out for Lucha Underground that fell through. You know, no one else was really taking a chance. And Court Bauer was like, hey, kid, like, come work for me. And Hammer's like, cool. Like, let's, you know, you want to set up a tryout. And he said, Court was no, I just want you. Your tryout was your body of work on the indies. And so he signed a 3-year deal, and before it even came time to renew, Court came up to him with basically an offer that was 10 times what he was making prior, and like, that meant a lot to Hammer. And he said, and he did note, like, over, you know, the past few months, he's been really frustrated, and he's lashed out in various ways, but, you know, when no one else would, MLW took a chance on him. And, you know, you could say that MLW was built on the back of Hammerstone, but he's like, no, they took this kid, and now MLW, you know, laid the foundation for him to become, you know, the superstar that he is, or the man that he is. And, you know, he points out that, like, you know, it may be a while before he's going to be gone. He is legit going to be gone, you know, but, you know, it may not be forever. And, you know, but he has, for whatever he's doing next, he has MLW to thank for it. And he puts over the company, he puts over the young guys in the back, you know, that are doing it, you know, who are going to carry MLW here in the future. And even, like, you know, tongue-in-cheek said, even though he hates him, you know, he throws Alex Kane into that group as well. So it was kind of a classy move, despite, you know, a lot of the stuff that's going on backstage, for Hammer, who is entering free agency here in about a week. So as the show goes off the air, we do get an embrace by Court Bauer and Hammer as he's walking off the stage. So there's our holiday rush. You know, I'm going to call it a mixed bag, because, I mean, it was kind of what it was. Overall, thoroughly entertaining overall. I mean, yeah, there's some things I question, but like, to be realistic about it, like, ultimately, these were allegedly going to be, fusion taping matches. So it was kind of cool, like, for them to just kind of put them all into one special event. Obviously, they weren't going to go, like, full pay-per-view with it. That's fine. You know, even when I complain about certain matches or complain about things, like, you know, whatever, they weren't bad. You know, like, I didn't expect the Selena De La Renta match to end up being a match. I figured there was going to be all sorts of gaga, and at best, you know, she would get a pinfall. Like she wouldn't do any work and then just, like, get to step her foot on Ichiban's chest. So I didn't expect anything from that. Like, I was disappointed that they didn't let Blackwood and Deppen cook for a bit, but I don't think this is going to be the end of the feud there. You know, the rest of the matches, my complaints are just strictly that of personal taste. You know, like, dag, I really want them to do something with the main event. But that didn't affect the quality of the match at all. Like, so not to take anything away from Wasted Youth or the tandem of Crawford and McCoy. But yeah, so, you know, a lot of fun. Christmas came early. So we'll see where we're going. If we get another fusion before Kings of Coliseum, the first full week of January. But either way, they're cooking up right now. We'll see what Quartz got now that he's got the lawsuit with WWE out of the crowd and out of his frame of mind. So that being said, let's wind things down. Let's take a break. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the plugs and the best ways you can help support this here small podcast. I think this is gonna be the last show before the new year, so just, you know, one more earnest, you know, teardrop. You know, thank you all for listening through the year. Thanks for support through the year. You know, happy holidays, whichever one you choose to celebrate. I'll see you all next year. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLWConfusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova, where for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.